Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome you all again to the second day of this seminar on preacher training. So today I thought I'll discuss some of the concepts of what really preaching is. So yesterday we discussed a very broad structure of what it really means to be a preacher. Today we will go into a little more practical, down-to-earth details of how do we actually preach to people and how do we inspire them to take up to Krishna consciousness. So today's presentation will be more of a lot of concepts basically. You know, these are a lot of tips that you can use in your preaching areas, and you have to adopt it, mold it according to the need of the hour. Essentially, preaching means three things: cultivation, contact, and care. So, we'll discuss each of these three things. So, if all these three things are done, then you can actually re-spiritualize somebody's life completely. So, these three things are the fundamentals of what good preaching is. These are called three C's of preaching: cultivation, contact, and care. So what is the meaning of cultivation? We'll discuss that first. Cultivation essentially means farming. So essentially what we're going to do is we're going to farm today. So whatever is done in a farm, that is what is done in preaching. So if you are a farmer, then you can be a good preacher. Essentially, this is what cultivation is. Cultivation involves some soil has to be there. Then there has to be some seeds. Then there has to be some water. There has to be sunshine, and there has to be a fence. This is what cultivation is about. So if you have these five things in place, then you can do good preaching. What are these five things? I'll tell you. Soil essentially means fertile heart. Don't try to preach to everyone, you will not succeed. Look for fertile hearts. So essentially, it is not possible that you preach to everybody in the world. Very difficult, you know. Definitely, it is much easier to find people who have fertile hearts, preach to them first. And then go to the hard nuts later, you know. So, generally what happens is that many times when people go out on book distribution, when people go out to preach, essentially what they do is that, they find the right person, they find anybody, and they start downloading, and that flow starts fighting, you know. So it goes on and on and on, and 2 hours have gone, you realize that you have achieved nothing and that flow has achieved nothing. So many times you find that you get into cold arguments with people who are just not having a fertile heart. So rather than that, if you can categorize people into different categories, it becomes much easier to preach. So the first thing that is required is that search for fertile hearts. So just like good soil, which has good ingredients, good nutrients, possibility of crop growing better is there, right? You don't go and try to grow a crop on a mountain rock. It doesn't grow. It will grow, but you have to spend years and years and years over there in watering that. and then probably something will grow.
Things,
you know. So rather than that, buy a land somewhere else, you know. So the first thing is that you need to find fertile hearts, and then you sow seeds. What are sowing seeds? This is giving Krishna conscious message. So here you have to sow the right kind of seeds. You cannot sow seeds that are rotten. You cannot sow seeds that are filled with, you know, negative elements. You have to sow the right kind of instructions. So and then you need to water it. What is watering? Watering is essentially care. We'll discuss that over here again. But essentially, so once the soil is identified, the seed is sown, you have to constantly water it. That is a lot of care. And then sunshine is warmth. Warmth. Warmth means friendly behavior. So a person who comes to the Hare Krishna movement, who comes to attend your classes, has to find a lot of warmth, has to find a lot of, you know, care, and he has to find himself in a very friendly atmosphere. And then finally, the most important thing, you have to fence the field. Fencing means protecting from pitfalls. So essentially, Krishna consciousness is like walking on a razor's edge. So when they walk, when people take up spiritual life, they will always go into the wrong paths, over enthusiasm, you know. So, and more than anything else, wrong association. So, you know, so you have to really protect. Just like a farmer protects his crop very sternly from all kinds of invasions, you know. Animals coming in, or other human beings coming to steal, you know, or the crop getting destroyed by insects. Similarly, people you cultivate, you have to protect them. With a heavy heart, I say this. More than protecting them from outsiders, you have to protect them from insiders. Because many times, within the community of devotees, they might get a bad experience. And if they get the bad experience within a community of devotees, if it is an outside person giving a bad experience, you can easily say, you know, these people are ignorant and this and that. But if it's a devotee community, you know, giving a bad experience, then you can't even say that. So you have to really protect these people nicely till they get nourished. Just like a plant, when it is in the growth stage, the first few weeks of the plant's growth, that is in the most delicate stage of the plant's life. Therefore, you have to really, really protect the plant very nicely. And then once it grows up a little bit, then, you know, it takes care of itself. Similarly, the first phase of somebody coming into the Hare Krishna movement, you have to really, really protect them. And only when you protect them by laying down a fence around them, then they will grow, and at a certain stage, they can handle on their own. Then, you know, they don't care so much. They become seasoned devotees, you know. Whatever happens, you know, I mean, once you get strongly connected to the Hare Krishna movement, if somebody comes and tries you out, you don't get fried out, because you know how to handle it, you know how to, you know, balance the whole thing, you know. So the initial stage, you need a lot of fencing. So this is essentially what good cultivation is about. So essentially, a preacher is supposed to make every heart into a temple of Krishna. That's the role of a preacher. We have to make every heart into a temple of Krishna. So many times what happens is that we are in the desire to create temples. We are in the desire to make many temples, you know, open many temples. But we don't think from this perspective that the best preaching is to create temples in the heart. Can you break a temple which is there in the heart? You can't. You can break a temple which is physically there. A temple that is physically there, you will not have, you know, enough people to run it. so many problems will happen, you know, fundraising problem, this problem, that problem, you know. But temple, once it is made in the heart, there will be absolutely no problem, because the temple can thrive forever. It doesn't need any finances, it doesn't need any full-time brahmachari staying, you don't need anything. A temple in the heart can forever exist, right?
Yeah.
And all kinds of worship can exist in the temple. Highest standard of worship, you know.
Okay.
So therefore, what I personally feel is that more than just a physical temple, we need to create temples in people's hearts. That's the role of what our preacher is. So essentially, we are trying to, when we're trying to preach, what we are trying to do is that we're trying to completely change a person's paradigm of life slowly. If a person comes in the beginning, if you understand what we're trying to do to that person, that flow will run away. He'll never come, you know. We're actually trying to change every aspect of that person's life. Right from the way he eats, the way he thinks, the way he dresses, how many times he has bath in a day, everything. So practically we're trying to change the person's life completely. In one sense, it's a big task, you know. But to be able to do that, we have to actually understand what cultivation is. So this is a very rough idea of what cultivation is. I'll get into this again once I finish the other two. And we'll discuss, I'll share my experiences of how we cultivate people and some good and bad experiences of cultivation, you know, and what works, what doesn't work. I'll share all that and then we can take things ahead. So basically, the second thing is known as contact. First is cultivation, second is contact. Contact essentially means that if anybody comes in touch with you, that person, somehow or the other, you have to help that person for his life. So essentially, there are four types of contacts, four ways in which people who come into the Hare Krishna movement, they serve. And all the four ways are perfectly fine because it is according to their capacity and according to their desire to connect. The first is known as pranayam. That means these people give their life to Krishna. These are people who completely give themselves. So it is explained that there are many stages of Krishna consciousness. The first stage of Krishna consciousness is that when a person comes, he says, I don't know why these people are behaving like this. First stage, you know. These people seem to be weird. Second stage is that when the person comes little often, then he says, I like these people. They're nice people, you know. He has grown. And then he says that, I want to know more about these people. So he comes, hears from, you know, from avoiding, he comes to the stage of liking. And from the stage of liking, he says that these people are actually intelligent people. So from just like, he says, I want to know more from these people. And then he comes more and he learns more. And then he says that Krishna consciousness is my religion. So till now he has been saying that I like Krishna consciousness or I like these people. And then he says that, you know, Krishna consciousness makes sense. And then he says that Krishna consciousness is my religion. And then as he hears more, as he connects more, as he practices more, he says, Krishna consciousness is not just my religion, Krishna consciousness is my life. And then there's another stage where he says that Krishna consciousness is not just my life, it is my mission. I want to make every person in the world Krishna conscious, you know. That is the highest. So here, pranayam are those people who are ready to give their life to Krishna. So you will find people like this, who are ready to dedicate their life. Unfortunately, in ISKCON, we are looking only for these people. Where are these people, you know? So if anybody doesn't give his life to Krishna, that means he is in Maya. That is our understanding, you know. Unfortunately, that is not a fact. There is only 1/4 of the population who are spiritualists, who will actually dedicate their life. In fact, the others can give more. Second is Arthair. Arthair. So these are people who are ready to share their resources. So that means these are people who are ready to share their wealth. These are people who are ready to share, you know, the resources that they have with them.
What is the second one?
Arthair.
How do you spell it?
A-R-T-H-A-I-R. This is Sanskrit, by the way. It doesn't have English. In Sanskrit, Arthair means somebody who is ready to give their resources to Krishna, wealth, whatever resources they have. The third is Dhya. So just remember that if somebody doesn't give their life, it doesn't mean that he is not unqualified. It's not that he is not qualified to serve Krishna at all. He's not qualified to be cultivated. So if a person can't give his life, then is he willing to give his resources? If he is not willing to give his resources, is he willing to give his talents? So there are some people who may not be able to have, who may not have any resources at all, but they have talents and they are ready to share those talents with Krishna. And fourth are people who are ready to give vacha. Vacha means they will speak good about you. So many times when we preach, we are only searching for pranir, or at max we are searching for people who are ready to give arthir. So we also should know that preaching also can be done to people who are ready to give diya. Diya means talents, their skills, their abilities. And definitely preaching is for those people who are ready to give vacha. That means if anybody says these people are good people, that's vacha. So that means anybody who comes in touch with us, anybody who comes in contact with us, we should be able to put them in one of the four categories. That means all the four types of people deserve our attention and deserve our care, essentially. Because all the four are the ones who are actually going to take Krishna consciousness forward. And we need all four at all times. Vacha, people who are, you know, connected to the media, connected to the press, connected to influential people in society, you know. If they just say one word, these people are good people, you know. I mean, you know, Steve Jobs, before he left his body, he once said, I used to eat in the Hare Krishna movement. And that one statement is being so much used by the Hare Krishna world, you know. Of course, we didn't use it properly when he was there, you know. Now we are trying to use it when he is not there. But unfortunately, there are people like this who can speak. They are using their vacha. So the point I'm trying to tell is that every person whom we come in contact with, that person should remain in our mind, and we should want to help that person for our life, forever. So it's not that it is only for some time, it is not for other time, forever. And then there is a third thing, which is the care. So essentially, yesterday we spoke about the MMOT model, modeling, mentoring, organizing and teaching. So that model will also be applicable for the cultivation aspect. So we can kind of add that here. And then, what is care? Care essentially is kindness. Kindness, love and affection. So, you will always find that people will want to follow or want to come to you if they see that you have personal integrity. So, before you give care to others, you have to show your integrity to others. And that's when people will want to, hear you. People want to see whether you follow what you promise. And if you follow what you promise, that's when you actually care for them. You may promise big things, but if you don't follow what you promise, that means you don't care for them. You're just kind of casually making statements. So before people accept you, they see whether you follow what you say. They check your integrity levels, essentially. So in this care, there is a lot, actually. There is a lot. So essentially, every individual who comes to us, we have to understand that person in and out. We have to know that person in and out. You cannot preach to a person unless you don't know the person's name. You understand? So many times what happens is that in a preaching program, there are so many people that come, you don't know anybody's name at all. So whom are you preaching to? You are preaching to walls. For you, all are unnamed faces. And you don't care only for them. So the more you spend time in understanding and knowing people individually, the more you can actually help people and, you know, inspire people to grow in their devotion. So it's a lot of hard work, you know. I spend about 30-40% of my time learning people's names, actually going to every individual's houses, knowing everybody's families, developing relationship with the whole family, not just one person, you know. So essentially what happens is that the whole concept of caring is not just caring about the individual. It's about caring about anything that is connected to that individual. That's what caring is about. You know, Prabhupada says if you love me, you should love my dog. That's how it is, you know. So people always want to see, if you love me, do you care for people who are connected to me? Because each one's problems or each one's challenges is not just about his own spiritual life. It's about the background in which he is living. Social background, economic background, psychophysical nature. Everything is involved in being able to help a person. So, when you want to show people that you care, what is important in caring is your attitude. So people want to see if you have an enjoying propensity. People want to see if you have an enjoying propensity. So essentially, people want to see why you are preaching to me. Do you want something from me? So essentially, many times what happens is that many preachers consider their followers to be their servants. Free labor. I give 6 months of time to them and then they become my free laborers. That means the propensity to enjoy is strongly there in a person. So whenever people see that the propensity to enjoy is very strong in a person, then they stay away from that person. If not, they become like you. When they preach, this is what their understanding preaching is. Make everybody your servant. Good preacher means a lot of servants. That's what people feel, you know, preaching is essentially. So, one thing we have to remember is that preaching is a service. And if we preach with the right attitude, then we are preaching to serve everybody who is connected to us. That means the more number of people you are getting to preach to, the more is an opportunity to serve. And if that attitude is not strongly embedded in us, then we unfortunately become very exploitative preachers, very exploitative leaders. Therefore, we have to work on the basics of what preaching is. And care also means that you do activities that people can appreciate. And so basically, you have to do activities that show your love to people. By your actions, by your words, by your thoughts. Everything that you do as a preacher has to show that you genuinely love and care and are concerned about people you are cultivating. This has to be something that is very, very genuine. And this is the most important thing. In relationships, fast is slow and slow is fast. I hope you understood what it means. Yeah. Essentially what it means is that when you're trying to cultivate relationship with people, you're trying to preach to people, fast is slow. That means you push them too much. Yeah. Their speed of growth reduces. And slow is fast. If you are slow with them, then their speed increases. So many times as preachers, what we tend to do is that we are result oriented. We say, "Arey, Prabhu, chalo kar do, sola mala, ho gaya, bahut ho gaya," you know. Wait a minute, yeah, this person is getting, he's slowly getting connected, he's slowly getting inspired. What is the hurry? He said, no. Spiritual life is an emergency. All those quotes you bring out at that time, you know. Essentially, what happens is that you might find that suddenly this flow is growing, but he'll not stay. Or his growth will be very stunted. So I always, this is a sutra that we should remember in connecting with people. Forget preaching in your relationships also. When you're connecting with individuals, you know, when you're connecting with people whom you want to really develop a relationship with, fast is slow. That means you really go fast into the relationship, you're actually slowing down the whole, you know, relationship. And if you're going slow with people, you actually go fast. So this is the sutra, yes.
There's another concept about this fast is slow, the dosage. The doctor, you know, overdoes, the patient dies.
Yeah.
And if you underdose it, you know, doesn't get cured. So you have to know how to dose it.
You know, there's a saying that says that, just to add to what you said, relationships are like a bird. If you squeeze it too much, it dies. And if you leave it free, it flies. You give it the right amount of affection and love, it stays. So essentially, you know, when we are trying to help people, you have to remember that you're handling delicate souls. You're handling people who are extremely delicate beings. Each one of them have a strong false ego, and each one of them have a lot of, experiences of the past. So you, the, yes, bro.
Prabhu, can you repeat that? Relationship is like a bird, second class.
Relationships. Relationships is like a bird.
Yeah.
If you squeeze it, it dies.
Oh.
And if you leave it, it flies.
If you leave it, it cries.
It flies.
Oh, it flies.
Bird.
One.
And you give it love and affection, it stays. Anyway, some other time when I come, I do a seminar called Secrets of Lasting Relationships. I did it in the Durban congregation when I came. I spoke for almost 2 hours just on relationships. People didn't get up from their seats even after 2 hours. Relationships, something nice, such a desperate need in today's time, that, people really want to know how to handle good relationships. Forget the outside world, even within the community of devotees, such a crucially important subject. Anyways, we'll go into it some other time. So, I wanted to discuss a few things with you all, which are thoughts and my experiences with preaching. These are all discussions. We need not implement any of these things or can implement, that's up to you all, absolutely. I'm just sharing my thoughts, so then we can discuss it if you like. So, there are two types of programs. One is inspirational programs, and the second is preaching programs. In ISKCON, anytime there is a group of people coming together and somebody is speaking, it is called a preaching program. Unfortunately, therefore there is a lot of confusion and there is no growth. So I always like to differentiate programs as inspirational programs and preaching programs, because it gives you clarity what you want to do in that program. So inspirational program means a program where people come together and they want to get inspired in practicing their devotion and to sustain their bhakti. That is called an inspirational program. Right now what we are doing is an inspirational program. In addition to training, So this program now, if a new person comes, I don't know how much you will understand, Because I am just speaking something else only for the new person, you understand? So, inspirational programs are programs where a new person comes, he may or may not get inspired. right? Inspirational programs are programs where devotees come together and nourish their spiritual lives. So this is after a certain stage of development of the self. You know, yesterday I was speaking about self-development. Beyond a certain stage of self-development, we need inspiration regularly. In fact, the Bhagavatam says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We need inspiration constantly. So the more inspiration programs we attend, the more we grow. But the difference between an inspiration program and a preaching program is that preaching program is catering to a new person's needs, interests and concerns. The inspirational program is catering to the needs, interests and concerns of somebody who is stably connected to Krishna consciousness. So here is where we need to understand that, you know, you might say that, Prabhuji, why is preaching not increasing? First, ask yourself, are we doing inspiration programs or are we doing preaching programs? 90% of ISKCON programs are preaching, are inspiration programs. Correct? Very few we do what is known as preaching programs. And preaching programs have to be a sustained one for results to come. It cannot be a one-time one. One-time preaching program you do on Dhamaro somewhere, you know. Rath Yatra, we do. Lakhs of people come suddenly and they suddenly disappear. ISKCON is expert in suddenly invoking spiritual desires. But it is very weak in sustaining those people whose spiritual desires have been invoked by us. So what happens is that we do a Dhamal program, we do big programs that really inspire people, and somebody says, I want to do something spiritual. We have no support system, so they go and join other organizations. So many organizations get benefit by ISKCON's big Panda programs. It's a fact. I can vouch for it, and I can give you statistics also, you know. The more big Panda programs you do, other organizations get benefit. Because they are invoking spiritual interest in people, basically. But we have nothing to sustain that spiritual interest. We don't have a system to sustain the spiritual interest of people and help them grow. This is where we need what is known as preaching program. So I'll tell you what is the difference between an inspiration program and a preaching program from the point of view of structure. Then you'll understand what it is. Inspiration program, anybody comes in, sits on a class assignment, gives a powerful bombastic class and then that's it. People get inspired and go away. Inspiration program doesn't need any structure. But preaching programs needs a structure for results to come. So, what is a good preaching program? Let me explain to you. A good preaching program essentially needs four components for a good preaching program to be successful. First component is a preacher. Second component is a follow-up team. Follow-up team. The third component is a organizing team. And the fourth component is a database or communication team. If you don't have these four teams, you cannot start a preaching program. So let me explain to you. A preacher is one who gives a talk. But preacher also is a person whom people connect with as a person whom they can gain knowledge from. So the person best is if every preaching program has one preacher who is steady. Same preacher does every week. Or maximum two preachers say, you know. They share a preaching program. The second thing is known as follow-up team. Follow-up team means this team assists the preacher. Ideally, the follow-up team should be a ratio of 1:8. That means 8 to 10, I can say. How many people should be in a program, in a preaching program for really cultivation to happen? As many people as there in the, as there with the follow-up. That means if in a program there are 4 people who can follow up, who are these follow up people? They are properly connected devotees who understand the philosophy and who are ready to help. Preacher, what he does is gives a lecture and that's his role. But a follow-up team is one who actually builds relationship with everybody. If there are 80 people, how can an individual preacher connect with everybody? Not possible. Therefore, every preacher needs a follow-up team. That follow-up team's role is to connect with people whom they are assigned. That means every person in the follow-up team gets assigned 8 to 10 people. You cannot follow up more than 8 to 10 people. So essentially, if you have 4 people to follow, who can help follow up, you can have how many people? 40 people attending a program. And the organizing team is the one that makes sure the prasad is in time, there is a hall, there is a sound system, there is mridangartal, details. And communication database team is a team that actually keeps a track of all the people who are coming. If there is registration, keeps track of that. And then SMS and email communication that the database team does. If these, generally in ISKCON what happens? This fellow does all the 4. The preacher does all the 4. Therefore, he neither can organize properly, nor he can preach, give a proper lecture, because he, most of the time, instead of preparing for the lecture, he's running around getting prasad, getting chairs and this and that organized. So he can't do anything effective. So essentially, this is the difference between preaching and inspiration, if you understand. If you want results, you have to have systems. If you don't want results, continue as it is. 20 years will go, still you will find that Prabhuji, nothing is happening. Yes.
Sorry, the problem may be the preacher, he wants his goal. So he does not, and maybe he doesn't want to engage other people to do the follow up, etc. There is a problem of scope goal.
So I'll tell you, this is a sutra that works in leadership level also, and it works in this level also. No human being can achieve anything big alone. That is a fact. No human being in the history of the world has ever achieved anything alone. Take examples of sports stars. Those who are athletic champions and this and that, whichever you take. Ask any person, are you a success because of just of your own self? Impossible. Even the best athlete, he has to run. But to inspire him to run, there are so many people. There is a coach, he has his whole team, his parents, there are so many people who have helped him become what he is as an achiever. So it's a fact that nothing of significance has ever been achieved alone. So therefore, preaching is a teamwork, definitely. And as I told you, yesterday we were discussing it, the success will show you whether your method is effective or no. As simple as that, If you adopt a method that works, which is harmonious, you'll find success happening. I always say that preaching starts after the lecture is over. This is my experience. Preaching starts after the lecture is over. Essentially, what is preaching? Heart-to-heart connection with people. So preachers who can really connect with every person talking to, they are the ones who can actually get success. They are the ones who can actually, help people become nicely connected. And so basically, to find ways to connect with people, heart-to-heart way to connect with people, the best ways is if you know a person individually. As I told you, we should not just know the person, we should know the families also. We know these 4 kind of people who come to Krishna. Artho, Artharthi, Jnani and Jigyasu. Artho, Artharthi and Jnani. These are people who come with some desire, When a person is distressed, that person is the most conducive person that you can help, because he is wanting help. So, really to touch people's hearts, 2 things I suggest. One thing is that when a person is happy, you be happy with that person. And when a person is sad, be sad with that person. Not everybody wants solutions. People want to be heard. And I know somebody will come to me with problems, you know, and they spend like 1 hour, you know, telling me what problem they're going through, you know, and I just listen to them for 1 hour. And after 1 hour, they tell me, "Thank you, Prabhuji, you solved our problem." I'm not open my mouth only. Half the time, you know, I don't open my mouth, they find the solution themselves. The only thing I do is I sit and hear them. And people want that. People want somebody who can really understand what they're going through, not necessarily give solutions, but to actually somebody whom they can reveal their heart to in confidence. In fact, when Dasharatha Maharaj, he wanted to declare Lord Ram as a king, the next king. So he wanted to first do a survey of the entire Ayodhya and find out if people really want Ram to be the king. And when Dasharatha asked this question, practically the entire city, everybody said, "We want Ram to be the king." Dasharatha was surprised, you know. So he asked, "Why do you want Ram to be the king?" And then they give this answer. They said that Ram, he knows us more than our family. He says, when we go through difficulties in our life, more than our family members, Ram is sitting and crying in our house. We don't understand what he is getting by crying, sitting and crying in our house, you know. And when we achieve something successful, Ram seems to be more happy than us. Therefore, such a person who understands us definitely should be the king. So essentially, what is good relationship is when people find that you have interest in them more than just externals. You really want to affectionately care and love for them, and you genuinely want to help them. That's when people are ready to become devotees. So essentially, when people go through difficulties, that is the time when you can actually help them. Share people's difficulties, share people's joys. So when we become part of their family, that's when preaching happens. One of the things that I have understood, so I'm just giving out some random thoughts on what effective preaching could be. So one of the things that I have understood, that I have experienced, where people really connect very deeply, is if you can find an engagement for them according to their propensity. The fastest track to grow the spiritual life is seva. Anybody who gets caught in the net of seva, sooner or later is going to become a strong devotee. So it is somehow or the other, find their skills, find their propensities, find their abilities, and put them into the trap of seva. Krishna seva, Vaishnava seva, you know. If they can do some seva that is according to their propensity, they get the higher taste. And that higher taste is something that cannot be replaced with anything in the material world. So one of the strong ways in which you can actually connect people very strongly to the Hare Krishna movement is find them a service that they like, not a service that you want them to do. Try to find a service that they like, according to their propensities, according to their skills. Sometimes I create services. Sometimes the service is not needed only. I create the service just because this person wants to do the service. He has that kind of talent, you know. Somebody has a talent to write. Somebody has a talent to do editing. Somebody has a talent to manage. Somebody has a talent to, you know, cook. So you just find what the talent of. Somebody has a talent towards musical instruments, you know. Somebody has a talent in speaking. So I many times create speaking engagements just so that the talent is utilized, you know. So you have to somehow or the other tax your brain. The whole focus of the management is to somehow or the other tax their brain to create more service opportunities. Like tomorrow we're going to discuss the Gita contest, you know. This is essentially a service opportunity where people who have the ability to speak, who have people ability to interact with individuals, people who have ability to inspire, people who have ability to manage, you know, to set question papers. So many abilities can be engaged in this service, basically. What you can't achieve in 1 year of preaching program, You can achieve in 4 days or 3 days. If you take them out on trips. Every year I do at least 2 trips with people whom I preach. Minimum, 2 trips. And these trips are like 2 days, 3 days trips, you know, essentially, where I take them out to a holy place. Or take them out. I mean, I once took them, you know, from Bombay, I took them to Goa. Can you imagine? We call it Goa Yatra. So when I told people that we're on Goa Yatra, the people were bewildered. Said, come on, Goa and Yatra, there's nothing Yatra about Goa, you know. But you know what we did? I tell you, those 3-4 days that I took people, about 50 people I took them for a trip to Goa, people till now, they remember the trip. Not because we went to some beaches and we had a picnic like that, but because the spiritual content which was there in that trip, you know. We traveled together 2 days up and down, coming together, and then 2-3 full days of solid morning program. We are chanting Japa together till Bhagavatam completely, and then there were some holy places in Goa. Apparently, Goa also had some holy places. So we went to some holy places. We did bhajans over there, and then I devised games, Krishna conscious games, you know, solid games which were really absorbing and which people loved it. And then we had dramas. We also had a boat cruise. We took all the devotees on a boat, and you know, the whole evening we were on a boat. We were doing kirtan, pushpabhishek. Then I gave a, you know, 2 hours lecture, and then we had prasad in the boat. Came back. I tell you, even now people talk about it. And the amount that they grew in those 2 or 3 days, because they bond together very strongly, and because they bond with devotees very strongly, and a full-fledged spiritual experience now, that growth doesn't happen in 1 year also. So this is something that I suggest you all, if you all want to do good preaching. Once a group is formed, a solid group is formed, take them out for trips. And in those trips, don't just only focus on katha. But along with katha, you also have bonding sessions. These games, these, you know, extracurricular activities, they actually bond people together very strongly, you know. Of course, it has to be all centered around Krishna only. We don't completely deviate from the theme. But essentially, we try to use our intelligence in trying to connect with people. One thing that I always find in many ISKCON temples is that there are 2 ways to think. There's something called there is a concept called project over people, and there's another concept called people over project. Project over people means that we are result oriented, and people over project means we are people oriented. So many times what happens is that we focus on the result, we focus on a project, and because we focus on a project so strongly, we actually don't really cater to people's needs, interests and concerns. So effective preaching happens when there is focus on people over projects. And therefore, any place where you find a strong preaching, strong results in terms of number of people growing in their spiritual lives coming, you'll find the emphasis is always people over projects. And whenever you find that the projects are always emphasized over people, you find that, you know, somewhere or other you'll fry out people. People will get disheartened. So therefore, our experience has been that when people are emphasized, projects thrive. When projects are emphasized, people don't thrive, and eventually projects also don't thrive. So therefore, the base of every project is people. So therefore, rather than being result-oriented, if we can just become people-oriented, a lot of transformation can happen, and a lot of change can happen, and a lot of substantial growth can happen. Because ultimately, everywhere, it's only people that are going to create the transformation. So, one of the things that, I'll stop with this, then we'll open it for discussions. One of the things as preachers that we need to cultivate is known as intuition. I don't know if you have heard of the word intuition before. Intuition essentially means
intuition
means a sixth sense. Now it's a feeling that you get from within. So every preacher should have a strong cultivation of intuition. You know how you cultivate intuition? Intuition is cultivated essentially by first strong sadhana. When the sadhana is very strong, when your focus on your personal spiritual life, self-development is very strong, then you get connection with the Paramatma. Essentially, good intuition means good connection with Paramatma. If you are tuned into the Paramatma, then you actually can speak the right thing at the right time. And you can know what's going on in people's lives. Sometimes, you know, when we speak to people, absolutely new person, we have never ever met that person before. If your intuition is strong, you can find out if that person is miserable or no. And you speak some words that will actually touch that person's heart. So strong intuition is developed first by strong sadhana, strong spiritual practice. And second thing is by developing a mindset of dependence. When we develop a mindset of dependence on God, dependence on Krishna very strongly, then that mindset of dependence actually helps us cultivate intuition. What is the meaning of dependence? Essentially, most people feel that I know everything. But a person who has the mindset of dependence feels I don't know anything. He's in a constant mood of praying to Krishna. My dear Lord, please direct me. Please give me the intelligence, please give me the understanding. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Tesham Bhadati Uktanam, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. What does the meaning of this Dadami Buddhi Yoga? Krishna says, I give the intelligence to the person who does Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, who worships me in devotion. I give that person the intelligence to know what is right and what is wrong. So the connection of the Paramatma is one of the most important factors for a preacher to be able to actually sustain his preaching. And that has to be on an internal level. And therefore, preaching is not only about skills. If you notice, till now I have not spoken about presentation skills at all. Most people who do preacher training, they speak first about presentation skills. How to do introduction, how to do body, and how to do conclusion nicely, you know. Presentation skills will come automatically. But if the basics of what preaching is set right, then other things will fall in place. And there are so many others who can help us with other things. But this is something that we need to really focus on, emphasize on, and understand what is the mindset behind preaching. So I stop over here. If somebody has any quick questions, comments, we can discuss.
On the practical level, Prabhu,
yeah.
Can you just let us know
yeah.
how preaching was or has been before you implemented this very wonderful type of preaching program? And after that, how it has been, after using these talents,
yeah.
how was it? Before and after, or during?
See, now, this is what I'm speaking to you is not like a it's not like a one event type of thing, you know.
Yes.
This has been an observation over years of development of the right model of preaching. You understand? So we have made hundreds of mistakes, and we are still making hundreds of mistakes. But what I have seen is that when a certain pattern is followed and a certain mindset is adopted, we get good results. I'm not saying this is the perfect model. I'm saying this is a tested model and we have got positive outcome out of this rather than our regular style of teaching where we don't have a structured approach towards preaching, you know. That's what I meant. So the regular style of preaching in ISKCON is what we already know, you know, where Sunday feast, Sunday love feast happen, where people come together, you know, and a class is given, and at the end of the class people go have prasad and leave. So essentially what happens in such a Sunday love feast, it's a mixed crowd. You have devotees coming also and new people coming also. The speaker is confused whom to cater to. Should he cater to new devotees or should he cater to old people? If he caters to old people, the new people will say, what is this? I don't understand anything. And if he caters to new people, the old people will say, what is this? Nothing nourished. I'm not getting nourished at all. So the same thing happens in Namahatta programs also, you know. In Namahatta programs, wherever I have gone, in different parts of the world, wherever I have seen Namahatta programs happening, we find people come together once a week. And there's a class. And sometimes new people are called for that class, you know. So the preacher again, there he is confused whether he is supposed to cater to new people or supposed to cater to old people. So over a period of 5-6 years, you know, if a Namahatta goes on and no new people are joining, people will say no preaching is going on. And if only new people are coming and they are not sustaining, people will say where is the preaching, where is the result of preaching? You understand? So ISKCON is a quite sometimes a confused organization also, where we don't know what exactly we want to do, you know. Therefore, we need to reorient and think, rethink about what we want to achieve. And once we decide what we want to achieve, there is a model for it. So I presented this model based on the fact that we want to increase number of new people coming in. And to sustain the old people, this word inspiration I wrote down. What is inspiration? I never spoke about it because that is not the target of this discussion. If you want me to speak only on inspiration, I can speak two days, only on inspiration. But that we know sufficiently, you know. What we need to do is we need to focus on cultivating new people and preaching programs, which is what I presented.
Thank you very much.
Can you explain about the time factor? Sometime we start a program, say by 7, and we finish it by 10, 11. It happens.
See, in inspiration program you can do anything. Basically, in inspiration program you can do anything. You can do program whole day also because people want inspiration. You understand? But in preaching program you have to be careful. Inspiration program is for people who are already connected to us, who are already devotees. You do a 24-hour program also, they will stay. You understand? But for new people, when you do a new people program, you have to be really focused on time, you have to be really focused on the way you present. When we preach to new people, we don't allow them to sit on chair, sit on the ground. We have chairs for them. We try to arrange an AC hall for them, you know. We try to arrange prasad, which is really high class. We arrange a welcome drink for them, you know. So we know very clearly we are catering to new people when we do that. You understand? And we have almost all our presentations are PowerPoint presentations, you know. When we cater to new people, because we know that is their need. Like if you come to the Ramakatha Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you will understand exactly what is meaning of a preaching program. The style in which I present, you know, that style can be appreciated by an absolutely brand new person. If on that day a brand new person comes, he'll walk back saying that, wow, this is something nice, I want to come back. So that's the meaning of a preaching program. You understand? So inspiration program is something where you are nourishing people's lives. So the more you nourish, the more time you give to nourish them, they will be happy. Yes, you need to set times for everything, that is a fact. But I'm just saying, this is the difference between teaching and inspiration.
Do I have something else? Somebody else has eyes.
Mahaprabhu, I think we hear around the world about Chaupati. Chaupati Temple. And I think, to me, it's clear that how structured Chaupati Temple is and why it is succeeding. Why is Chaupati Temple sending devotees all over the place, and, you know, outside of Chaupati to help other, you know, temples. So, and this is what we believe, you know, I mean, this mindset that in ISKCON we do inspiration program all the time around the year. This festival, that festival, that festival, that festival. And this goes on and on and on and on. And I think what you say that it requires requires a rethinking and understand what do we want exactly. Do we want to continue to inspire people on an ad hoc basis, or do we want to increase the number of people who want to, we want to really, as you say, to show that gratitude which we have received from, the grace we received from Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how do we spread this to, because, and that is only through the preaching. This is only through preaching. And so, to me, that until and unless we don't structure ourselves, because when you're talking about the ratio of the different kind of people who are needed in a preaching program to support it and to make it to go forward, if we don't do that, there's no way. I mean, it's a sort of, like you said, it's a one-man preacher, which goes around and does everything. This is the way we are going around, not working as a team.
Prabhu, forget that, all that. Even to, for us as devotees, to be able to really feel inspired, na, we will feel more inspired when we see newer people taking up Krishna consciousness. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
If we see that over a period of 10 years, the same set of people only are there, and no new people are joining, enthusiastically, and the two new people of a certain class, not just regular new people, new people who are really educated, who are very, very well to do, they come into Krishna consciousness, then we feel inspired also, Yes, we don't, see from that perspective, but it's a fact. On a subtle level, we do need inspiration when we see newer people coming in. So essentially, I'll tell you how I structure my preaching strategy. So this is just help you understand what I do, essentially. I start with something known as the six-session course, Journey of Self-Discovery. So this is a six-session, which is the entire Bhagavad Gita in six talks. 2 hours each. So we register people, get people to pay money for it, and attend this course. And this course is a life transforming course. Anybody who hears the audio of this course will go crazy. The kind of content and the kind of structure that is there is very powerful. So after the 6-session course, whoever is interested, on an average about 60-70 people come for a new 6-session course I do. After the 6-session course, I announce the last day that I am doing a weekly advanced Gita course, which is a once a week type of thing, and they have to register for it. So about 60 to 70% of the people who attend the 6-session course register for the advanced Gita course. And the advanced Gita course, so what I do is that I do 2 or 3 such 6-session courses. And over 2 or 3 courses, we essentially get a batch of about 70 to 80 people. And then I start a weekly class for them, weekly Bhagavad Gita. And I do the entire Bhagavad Gita in 2 to 2.5 years for them weekly. So for 2 to 2.5 years, every week these people attend. The entire Gita they attend. So by the time 2 to 2.5 years are over, out of the 80-90 people that attend, 70-80 people attend, at least 60-70% of them become 1600 devotees by the end of 2 to 2.5 years. So in 2 years, 2 to 2.5 years, you are generating 16 new people, absolutely brand new people, 16 rounders. At the end of 2.5 years, once the 18 chapters get over, I dissolve that batch. I send that batch, basically I send all the 16 rounders, those who become 16 rounders, to another program, which is an inspiration program. Weekly inspiration program, I send them there, Then they get inspired in that inspiration program and they continue their spiritual lives. And I take up a new batch. The next 2 to 2.5 years, I train up a new batch. So like this, I do 2 programs a week. So roughly about in 2 years, about 150 to 200 people become 1600. Just based on the 2 programs that I do. Like that, there are many preachers who do programs, Which is where the result comes from, basically. And because we do focused, result-oriented programs, it works. So the inspirational group is what we call as a counselor's system. And here we call it as Namahatta, It's the same thing basically. So the Namahatta system is helps to sustain people in Krishna consciousness. But the Namahatta, the inspiration program, it cannot be able to bring people. Yes, some people who are very pious and some people who are very special, they might become devotees through the Namata or through the inspiration program. But that's like rare. So if you have more structured program, you'll find more people getting connected.
Yeah, but do you do that alone or do you have a team around
you? Do what?
This 6 session, advance.
Oh, everything is team. I only give class.
No, I mean, I want to.
I only give class. I don't know who arranges prasad. I have never, for the last two and a half years, I have never arranged prasad for my program. I have a team that arranges prasad, you know. I have a team that arranges the hall. That's how I create seva, na? Somebody who comes to Krishna consciousness, they want to do some service. You say, help me arrange prasad for the program. They're happy to arrange that. They do not have the skill to give presentations, but they have excellent skill in organizing. My weakness may be organizing, but somebody else's weakness may be presenting, you know. So you bring all those people together, simple, you know. And I always have a follow-up team, you know.
I mean, this is obvious, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we get the wrong concept and until this is clarified, you see. So,
yes, if here motion you have now, we are structured.
Yeah.
I believe that this concept, your concept, can be fit in if we just take it so that we can, because
yes,
we have the option. So,
perfect.
This
concept is here, Prabhu.
Yeah. So,
see, basically now, how to implement that concept now, we can have a different discussion how to do it. Yeah? Just some of the leaders have to come together to discuss how to do it. But it's definitely possible. It's not impossible, though. It's definitely possible. It's just that a little bit of, you know, rethinking has to be done how to do it.
Yeah,
we
definitely have to. The Namaka leaders must not have to give. We must work at the team. This is the main problem that we will have to sort out. The Namaka leaders must go. Sometimes the Namaka leaders, when they say, okay, you are a group, okay. Can you give us a list of your? Say no, that is okay. You just come and I will invite them myself. So he will not give us a list of regular people. So it's some.
See, preaching is a teamwork.
Yeah.
It's all coming together. And here for 3-4 more days, if we need to discuss, we need to revisit whatever needed. I'm happy to.
And we were discussing with Acharya Ratna Prabhu, Varakrishna Prabhu and others that sometimes in future, whenever time permits, I don't mind coming and doing a 6-session course here, you know, Journey of Self-Discovery. So we're absolutely new people, you know, we register, get them, you know, get them to pay money and we hire a place and we do a 6-session course. And that the power of a 6-session course, you will understand when you see tangible transformation happening out at the end of the 6-session course, you know. So I could assist you all with that, you know. That will help you all create a new group, and then somebody has to take that group forward, basically, you know. That's how it is. Okay. Yes.
One last question. How do you get that quality? New group.
Yeah. So there are different ways to get that quality new group. I'll tell you what are the ways that we adopt in Bombay and in Goa also. One way is through newspaper advertisements, where we have an excellent poster. I can show you the kind of poster that we use. You know, really, you know, just seeing the poster only, the fellow will say, "I want to join." You know, the poster has topics. Essentially, the 6-session has 6 topics. The first topic is called as Search for Happiness. The second topic is called as Does God Exist? The third topic is called as Who Am I? The fourth topic is called as One God or Many Gods? The fifth topic is called as Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And the sixth topic is called as Practical Application of Gita in Daily Life. So these are the 6 topics. And the poster is created very fascinating, you know. So if anybody looks at the poster, they'll feel like coming. So especially somebody who is little inquisitive. So that is one way. So newspaper advertisement is one way. The most powerful way is word of mouth. Every devotee in the community gets one more person or 2 more persons. So just by inspiring her, hey, these new courses have already come. So like that, you'll find a lot of people coming. Word of mouth is a very powerful way to get people. See, basically what happens, I tell you, in the devotee community also, I know this happens. That people, every person has hundreds of contacts. But they don't want to expose their contacts until they're sure that, you know, they will really be inspired. You understand?
Yeah.
So not everyone will get all their contacts to go to the temple. Why? Because they don't know what will happen to them in the temple. You know? That fellow will feel that we are a fool if they come to the temple on a wrong occasion and has a wrong experience. You understand? So nobody exposes their contacts to the temple. And this is typically a program where anybody will love to get their friends. Two, word of mouth. Third is by putting up notice boards in your temple for a quite substantial amount of time. So new people keep coming. I see a lot of new people just walk in randomly, you know. And if you have a nice quality poster, it makes a lot of sense to them. And of course, you have a more access to radio and media. That's another way to get people connected. So these are some of the ways that we generally do. In our temple in Bombay, when we do the Journey of Self-Discovery course, we have a big board. Now, we have a board from this size to here. That big board, right in the entry. So as soon as a new person comes, he sees that board. And then he's inspired. See, basically, Prabhupada always said, temple is a university where teaching has to go on. So when they find that our temples have structured courses, then people will take our temples very seriously, essentially. So when if I ever do the 6-session course here, I can train some of the people here to do that course themselves. So I can give all the material and we keep doing that course. That's a way to connect new people, you know, collect new people.
And this is for brand new people to us.
Absolutely. Zero exposure.
Zero exposure.
Because when we say people, it's like variety. Some people, they don't have any inclination about dharma.
Even those who have no inclination, if they hear the 6-session course with their open mind, their mind will change completely. That much I can assure you. Okay. There's one more way in which we get new people. This is where the regular ISKCON festivals help. Like in Goa, I do a festival called Jagruti. So this Jagruti is a 2-day festival, you know. It's absolutely for new people, you know. And we do massive advertising and the topics are chosen very catchy for new people to come, you know. Like last year I spoke on two topics. First day I spoke on a topic called Life Essentials from Mahabharata. And the second day I had spoken on a topic called Too Busy to be Happy. So essentially when a person sees this kind of topics, they will feel like coming and seeing what is there in it, you know. So the first day about 750 people came. The first day people loved it. The second day they all got their friends. Second day 1,500 people came. So both the days at the end of my talks, I spoke 10 minutes about the Journey of Self-Discovery course and I told people to register for that course. And at the end of 2 days, 160 new people registered for the Journey of Self-Discovery course. 160 brand new people. And they attended 6 sessions, you know. And at the end of 160, at the end of the 6 session, about 60-70 remained back. And now they are, you know, connected to the weekly Gita class and now they are becoming devotees basically. So that's the way we use the festivals. Like if you do Rath Yatra, you know, Rath Yatra is essentially what happens. You feed lakhs of people, you spend lakhs of rupees, and gone. At the end of the day, you're tired. That's what you achieve with Rath Yatra. But what we do, like if you really want results from a Rath Yatra, is that the Rath Yatra talk has to be really powerfully oriented towards something. You tell people to take action. So at the end of the talk, if people get inspired to register for a course, then you catch some of them. You understand? Otherwise what happens is that Rath Yatra, we give a talk and we go away. And people don't know what to do after the Rath Yatra. They also go home. They eat prasad and go home. So they feel that's it. That's what ISKCON has to offer. We have a lot to offer, Baba. It's not just that's it. But unfortunately, we don't emphasize what we have to offer. Therefore, people feel that we don't have anything else to offer. So whenever we do big festivals like this, we always emphasize, come and register for a course. And that's where we catch people.
Can you tell us among the participants, which type of social classes they are attracted to? Youngsters, intellectuals, professionals?
Yeah. So, Prabhu, just to give you an idea, Bombay, in Bombay we do preaching from in all sections of Bombay. We do preaching in South Bombay, we do preaching in the suburbs of Bombay, we do preaching in central zone of Bombay. Essentially, in the suburbs, you will find people of a lower social economic background, and Jai Shri Shri Radha Radhana Bhagavan Ki, Krishna Balaram Ki, Lord Nitai Ki, Sri Govardhan Ki. So essentially, in Bombay, you find people from different backgrounds coming. So when we do programs in Mira Road or in the suburbs, we do programs in Hindi, which caters to their needs, you know. So the lectures over there are of a little lesser intellectual type because of the kind of people that are attending. So we cater to their needs. So the content of the lecture also is for their needs. So I do programs in South Bombay. South Bombay is one of the most elite sections of Bombay, if you know. People who are multi-billionaires, they live in South Bombay. You cannot get a house in South Bombay unless you are a millionaire, you know. These are the kind of people that are coming to South Bombay. When I told you the statistics of, you know, about 70-80 people joining and 150 people at the end of 2 years, you know, the sole statistics of South Bombay. So I do programs in South Bombay only, you know. And I find people of extremely intellectual class, extremely elite section of society also coming and equally loving the presentations and equally loving our temple. And they are becoming strongly connected devotees, Prabhu. And I tell you, many of them now, they do unlimited more seva. Because they don't take up Krishna consciousness unless they are convinced that this is the way to do it. Because they have too many options. You understand? They have too many options. See, pious people now, they will easily take it up. Because it really appeals to their heart. But people who are very materially oriented now, they will not take it up unless it really appeals to their intelligence. So I find them also taking it up and they take it up very seriously. So many of them wearing Kanti Mala, so many of them on the pipeline for initiation also, you know. So I find it works in there also. So it works everywhere, too, in all directions.
The program is under the temple management and the record and the follower. How is this being done? The collection of database, the maintenance.
Which program?
Your program.
Okay.
Okay, the different program.
Okay.
The follow-up, the record, the database, I mean, kept at management?
No. Each program is managed by a group of people in that area.
You with the management?
No. Temple doesn't bother so much. Temple doesn't even know what programs they're doing. Because temple management has too many things to do. They only give blessing. They give blessing, go ahead, do it. That's it. They give blessings. That's it. No other support from the temple management. Yes, they do give us valuable direction if needed. Because some of the very senior devotees are presidents in the management. So they give us guidance, basically. And we call them for big festivals. Like if I do a Janmashtami celebration within my congregation, you know, I call some of the very senior devotees to come and give a talk. They give a talk and they leave. That's it. So, but all the basic follow-up, the organizing, the management, all that is done by devotees who make a team. It's all voluntary, you know. So, a group of people come together who are enthusiastic and we say we will start a program. And we just inform the temple that we are starting a program and the temple sanctions it. And if we need some funds from the temple, we approach them, we take a loan from the temple and then return the money back. Like that. That's how we function.
And here you follow up here that because you're showing results at the end of the day. Because this is what the temple is interested in.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fact.
It's not how you're going to do it because they trust you.
Yeah.
in your integrity, in your so that I think that is there.
Yeah, 100%. See, basically,
the blessing is given based on if they see that the person is capable of doing something, because he's going to represent the organization, you know, naturally the person has to seek blessing before starting, you know. And once the blessing is given, then you start and show results eventually. And when you see, when they see results, then they give more encouragement, they give more support, they're more enthusiastic like that. Hare Krishna. Very grateful to all of you all for your patient listening and enthusiasm. I hope whatever I spoke in the last 2 days has been even a little helpful to the whole Mauritius Yatra. And if even 1% of what I spoke can be used, I think I would consider my visit a success.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So we would also like to invite you all for tomorrow evening. We are having a discussion on Gita Champions League. This is also a very powerful way to expand preaching. So the way I'll tell you how it started. You know, we were having a discussion in our temple once with some very senior devotee. I was just talking, and we were discussing that ISKCON has a lot of mass preaching programs. Rathyatras, Food for Life, Harinam Sankirtan. These are mass preaching programs to connect to a lot of mass people. But we don't have mass intellectual programs. You know, where we in big numbers cater to intellectual people. So these Harinam Sankirtans, Food for Life, you know, Rathyatras may cater to some intellectual people, but not all. So intellectual people prefer things like debates, they prefer things like quiz contests, some type of thing. So we wanted to create a mass preaching program for intellectual class of people. So we came up with this Gita contest, we call it as a Gita Champions League. So we found this to be very effective in hitting large number of masses, you know, through schools and colleges, and of course through regular people also, because people love contests. Especially because there's a prize money attached to it. So people, you know, are inspired to take part in contests. So this contest does 3 things. First is that it gives a solid PR to the temple, to ISKCON, because ISKCON is trying to do something extremely powerful in the whole country. Second thing is that it gives you a connection with people who are having a fertile heart, soil. Now in how many are millions of people in Mauritius? How will you know who are interested in Gita? Here, at the end of this year, you will have a database. These are the guys who are interested in Gita. Then you graduate them slowly over a period of time, you know. So it gives you connection to a lot of people who are having fertile heart. And third is that this contest, it gives devotees solid engagement. Solid engagement, absorption, you know. Your managerial abilities, your intellectual abilities, all your abilities can be dovetailed in Krishna service for a prolonged period of time, almost 5-6 months practically. So that's also another avenue. So those who would like to come tomorrow for the Gita Champions League discussion, you're most welcome. We will discuss, I'll speak about what we do in Bombay to make this happen, and then we can discuss more opportunities to increase preaching. So, if anybody would like to speak to me individually now and tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, I am most happy to interact with you all. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. So, we'd like to thank Srila Vilas Prabhu very much for his very, very inspiring session today. With a big applause.